introduction this morning. I'm Liz Babbitt from Johnny from New England, and it's a pleasure to be here today. And with me, I just want to make another introduction, is my husband, Doug. And we kiddingly say that he's a voluntold. Not a volunteer, he's a voluntold. But we often co-present when we go and do our church ministry trainings, which is a really fabulous thing. And something that I believe the Lord has blessed us in. We're nearly married 40 years next year, so it's really wonderful to work and to serve with Doug. We're also the leaders of disability ministry, although we don't call it that at our church. We call ourselves the inclusion specialists. And I want to talk a little bit about that throughout this presentation as far as just some practical information. Doug's giving you the PowerPoint presentation, so you have that. If you take some notes if you'd like to, take it home with you. There's also a book that you'll get next. And it's called Start With Below. And a lot of my presentation is taken from this book. Just pass them back. I think I have plenty. Just take them and pass them back. If anybody needs a pen, I have a few left to get here. I hope you are comfortable over there. So, I don't know how you feel, but I needed this conference as much as I needed to hear what has been said already. And I don't know how many of you are here because you don't have a program or even a way of ministering to people affected by disability, but I wonder, as I stand here, what's the message already that you're taking home? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if anybody would be willing to share that. What's a message that you know is already a take-home message?
We're all disabled.
Mm-hmm. We're all disabled. Anybody else?
More understanding. You can't ignore the disabled.
I'm sorry?
You can't ignore the disabled. You know, like, at my church, that's what they do. They say, well, it's not really our problem. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Any other messages, Maine?
I liked what they said upstairs about that it's a hospitality ministry and not a disability ministry.
Yeah, we actually, at our church, don't use the word disability ministry at all, even though my professional job is in church engagement and teaching about disability ministry. It's really about hospitality. It really is about looking at and seeing the people that God has put in front of you, basically. And so this slide is up here because Johnny's referred to it in Luke 14. And Pastor Bob even spoke a lot about this already. But the main point of this passage for me is that in the last days of Jesus on the cross, before he went to the cross, he was talking about marginalized people. And he included people that you might think are or seem to be, but they're actually not. They need to come. And compelling somebody means that you take them by the hands and the arms and you help them to get there. You know, and so that's really where the emphasis for me has come, and even with 1 Corinthians 12, is that, you know, for people, for the body to be complete, for us to have everyone at the table means that everyone is there and everyone is not being served but serving as well. So I just want to say that up front, and then I caught that billboard or that picture of that sign on the internet, but I put your church's name here. Read 1 Corinthians 12, we need you here ASAP. We need the full body of Christ. And in our church, and we're a small church in Georgetown, Mass., we have
11
families now that we're serving that are part of our church community, part of our faith family, and who are being served and also serving. So it's really an interesting...
Including Bill's son. He wasn't allowed to share, but we are. That was our church that he was talking about. And I get to be with Bill's son as his buddy tomorrow. So, the dad that was talking on the family.
we, in Johnny and Friends.
If you don't have a handout, raise your hand. I'm going to try to get more. We're about maybe 10 short. I'm going to try to see if this place in the building.
I don't know if it's like the original.
No.
So at Johnny and Friends, the terminology that we use, because the word inclusion has taken on a vast variety of different meanings, we have chosen to use the word irresistible in the fact that Jesus is asking us to compel people to come. And so read this with me. An irresistible church is an authentic community built on the hope of Christ that compels people affected by disability to fully belong. So I guess the first thing I would want you to understand, and I didn't say this upstairs, but I should have, is that people affected by disability are now the largest unreached people group in the world and in New England. Hmm. Because they're not going to church regularly. And if you stay to hear Doug's workshop on autism later today, you'll hear that if a family affected by autism goes to church and feels like this isn't the place I can make home, they will most likely never return, ever, according to current research. And so that statistic is, you know, really something to take home and consider, is just who aren't we reaching, who aren't we inviting, and why not? Mm-hmm. So 14.8 million people in New England, and how many of them are part of your church community? So, these are the things that people affected by disabilities have said about where they do belong. And so if you're thinking about starting a disability ministry, you know, the one thing that I would really urge you to do is to think about the messages that you're sending as people come into your church. And they're not difficult messages to send when you focus on hospitality. They're not difficult in that we are friendly people. But what are we doing to respect each person, to value each person, and to include each person, and to make it completely available? And by the way, people affected by disability, if they don't see accessibility, even in the structure of your church, they will probably not come inside. So you need to think about that. And just there's some resources on our website, Irresistible Church. And there's an accessibility survey that you can take, and you just kind of walk through your church in the eyes of someone who is affected by disability and see, you know, what are some things that, you know, really seem to really make a difference for someone to feel like they're valued. You value them enough to make way for them to come. You create a pathway for people to belong. So I'm going to just talk basically through these steps and even use a few stories along the way, because this is really where our journey started with our church. And it's step one is to ask, step two is to listen, step three is to plan, step four is to train, and step five is to launch. And you can expect blessings. I was listening to the parents on the panel and thinking how blessed we are to have people share their children with us. Or how blessed are we to have a Sam and a Ben come and be part of our church community and learn from each other. So the blessings are really amazing. I've learned so much. I'm a buddy to a young man whose name is Jacob. And Jacob is 26, I think. And his dad is our pastor. Our pastor is someone that has always been very respectful of life, in that he has 7 biological children and 4 adopted special needs. And so our church culture, from the time Doug and I have been at our church for over 30 years now, the church culture has always been that you're here, you're welcome as you are. Whoever you are, you're welcome here. And so Jacob and I are church buddies because he has his own Bible, and we sit together in church and we talk about some of the things that are, you know, that his dad is sharing. But I've learned so much from Jacob about how to worship, how to praise, how to see Jesus in all the scripture, which is what he likes to point out to me. There's Jesus right there. And so it really is a blessing to be able to be with someone. So, okay. So the next slide is really to talk about fruitful ministry, and the emphasis here is that it is not a program. To really welcome and include people affected by disability, you don't need to create a program. However, I will say that in our church, we've decided to adopt a care team method. We call ourselves the care team. And the care team is with their eyes and their radar, their spiritual radar, way up here, saying, who's coming through the door? Who's indispensable? The ones who seem weaker, seem like they are less than, are really indispensable to us as a church family. And who are they? And who are their families? So ministry, in this case, in the hospitality piece of it, is not about designing a program. It's about really taking a look at what are people seeing, hearing, and receiving when they come to your church. So fruitfulness from a biblical standpoint, and what we really like to emphasize here is, you know, the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit being at work, that there's people coming to Christ who are affected by disability or their families. And I'll stop here and just say that there's a quote in this presentation in a little while from Johnny who talks about people affected by disabilities almost being a hand grenade in the midst of churches that seem picture perfect, because everything is affected. And so our church received a mom from our community several years ago, and I would say this was my hand grenade, this was really kind of really what woke me up, is that she came in with her foster children, and I forget how many she had, like 20 I think, and they were all special needs, and she arrived on Sunday, and here we are, and they wanted to be part of our church family. And so what did that take? It took a lot of people saying, okay, let's learn from them. Let's do what we can to include them. Let's do what we can to provide an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so we didn't know it all at the beginning. And I think that's one of the things you can do best is just be transparent with families and people that come and tell them, I don't know everything I need to know about you or your family, but I'm willing to learn. So tell me how I can help you, or tell me what you need from me to be able to have you as part of our family, because I really care about you and I want you to belong. So be okay with that. Be okay that it's fruitfulness is about the fruit of the Spirit, and that some of the people coming to your church and some of the families that are coming, especially if you have families with children that have severe impact disabilities, you may not feel like you're teaching them anything about the Word of God. They're not memorizing Scripture, probably. But they're receiving the love of Jesus Christ so that their parents can worship together, some of them for the first time in many, many years. So you want people with disabilities to feel comfortable. The families want them to feel safe. So fruitfulness is what you're after. So asking, if you don't have anything in place right now, stop and ask God. Think about your own church for a second. Think about the people that you know that attend your church that are affected by disability. And what do you know about them? And how are they being received in your church? Or what are the kinds of things that they're able to access that everybody gets to do there? So ask God first, who is it, Lord, that you would have us to notice differently? Who is it that we have in front of us, and what kind of needs might they have? And then secondly, go to your church leadership and talk about your passion, your desire. You feel as if God's given you this purpose. What can I do to make a difference in this church? And I will tell you that the most successful disability ministry programs are in churches where the church leadership is supportive, meaning they will preach it, that the respect for life is definitely there, and they get it, that people affected by disabilities are part of their church and part of the family. But it has to have church leadership involvement or it will not go anywhere. And then the next one is to ask the people you're aiming to serve. And so there's another handout here that I want to give you. And this is taken from the booklet that you have, Start With Hello.
So as you know, we're handout impaired. So if you're with a group or with someone next to you that you can share with, let's see if we can get you on this side of the room.
So the ask piece about this is, to really think about what is prohibiting families from feeling welcomed in your church, or what environment is best for each family, each person that's part of your church, and how well do they know Jesus? And it does require a face-to-face, sincere conversation with people affected by disabilities, with their families. I will say that we learned very quickly from talking to Anne that many of the children that she had in her home had never been to church before. But she helped us to learn how to love them and how to support her. And she came really because she was just curious about that church on the hill. But she came to trust Jesus Christ because of the way we treated her children. So how do we do that well? Well, we ask. And so here's a common phrase that I've heard from some churches as I've traveled around New England. We don't have anyone in our church with special needs. So you're really the person, if you're thinking about where do I begin, as you pray and as you start talking to church leadership and then as you start talking to each other a little bit, what are we doing? Who aren't we reaching out to? So who isn't being invited? How about some of the things happening in your community? And this slide refers to therapy centers, other nonprofit groups. So let me just tell you that I took a course called Beyond Suffering a few years ago, and it was a Johnny and Friends curriculum, and the first thing I realized was that we weren't reaching out to group homes in our community. Group homes have some of the most isolated and lonely people affected by disability who have no friends or visitors even on Christmas. And that really hit me. It really hit me, like, oh my gosh, this is just not right. So we started going to group homes on a regular basis and just taking some praise music and just going and singing with them, and not just at Christmas. And pretty soon, a couple of the individuals started coming to our church. And so from that, because at that time I was the family retreat director, then they came to family retreat because they wanted to have that experience. And from there, and so there's still people from that group home, from one of the group homes, attending church, but they come with a personal care attendant, and sometimes their actions and their words are a little unexpected, but it's okay in my church for people to just understand that they belong. And Doug has a story. See, he does this. He looks back at me and he goes like this, and I know that it's
well,
his turn.
She told me to pop in whenever I want. That's one of the benefits of being voluntold. I just wanted to give you a real practical piece of advice. Liz and I really complement each other very well because she's got great theoretical stuff and I'm the how to do it tomorrow guy. If you do have interactions with group homes, make sure you ask the individual directly. And by the individual, I mean the person with the disability. Ask that individual directly, do you want to go to my church? Because if they say yes, their staff is then obligated to work it into the schedule, including staffing it for their opportunity to come to your church, okay? And unless the person self-advocates to go to church, the group home is not responsible to bring the person to church. So the caregiver or the family or the individual themselves needs to make that request. So if you ask them and they say yes, you can then report very honestly to the staff, so-and-so just asked if they could come to my church. And be creative about your communication and don't be manipulative, but it is important that the person make that request on their own. And so that's just a,
okay.
a practical.
Thanks.
He told the Ted story.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful worshiper.
Yeah.
He...
Ted?
Hmm?
Ted from...
Mm-hmm. He's a marvelous worshiper in our church. We have some quiet music during communion every time we serve communion. And Ted always sings relatively full voice. And we get to hear him worship. And it is awesome. It's awesome.
And you saw, and so the other thing I need to say is that our pastor at one point, you could hear Ted humming in the service, and he stopped and he said, "That's okay, because there's ministry in the hum." There's ministry in the hum. So, yeah. So listening is part of the process of beginning, is praying and then asking and listening. And listening to your church leadership, listening to their direction, listening to the mission and the DNA of your church and what your church is about. But then also thinking it through, like how can your ushers and greeters and parking lot attendants greet people affected by disabilities? Do they know how to do that? Listen to what kinds of things are in place. Who think about who in your children's or even in your adult ministries will determine the needs of a child with a disability when they arrive. And then listen to any concerns from the leadership. And then also, while you're doing this, we brought some things today for the conference and set up a quiet room. We have supplies because we do that at family retreat, and we brought it, and I know it's being used today, so think about that. And the quiet space is not to isolate families or people with disabilities. The quiet space is for, yes, it might be a place to come and bring people so that they can have a little bit of a break and a respite, but the idea is to get them back into, integrated back into the Christian education or the program or whatever is happening in the worship center. So, you know, is there anything like that that needs to happen? And then secondly, with the listening, is this family ministry profile. If you go on our website at irresistiblechurch.com, the little book that you have, there are now 12 of those on different topics to do with disability ministry, and you can download them for free. So they're all available, but behind them, if you click on the book itself, there's lots of handouts and resources, and this is one of them from Start With Hello. And I say that to you because there's lots of good stuff to help you with questions and even blogs and different articles for ministry leaders, for families, and for volunteers on that one website. And it's a Johnny and Friends website. But the family ministry profile, I mean, this is what we sort of learned the hard way, is that we were getting to know our families, but we also wanted their input and to get to know them. What are some ways that we could better serve them, or what are some better ways that they could be part of our family, basically? And so if you look at this family ministry profile, it's a two-page thing, and it's really giving you an idea of what are some questions that you might want to ask of people, families affected by disability, what are some things that would be helpful for you to know? And if you look at this, some of the questions, very basic information, and it isn't like I'm saying to you, take this paper and sit down and do it one-on-one, but just to give you an idea of the kinds of things that will help you and your church to move forward. You do need to know about the disability. You do need to know some things that will help that each child or each adult feel comfortable. And to even know from the parents, and they are the experts. And the kids that come with disabilities don't drive themselves, as we like to say. So it is really about asking and respecting what the families have to say. If you are able to gather information, we do this a lot. We spend a lot of time when we do our family retreat getting to know the families who are coming and talking with them and really understanding their child or their children and their disability, and really looking at it from a way of, if we're going to introduce a volunteer who's going to be their buddy for the week, we need to be able to make this as great an experience for the family, safety-wise, just wise, and for the volunteer to help them to succeed, because we don't want to set volunteers up to fail. So what we are saying, what I'm saying to you is, spend time getting to know the things about each child and each family that will help them to be in your church family for the time they're there. And church is not school, and you're not doing IEPs, you're not doing any of those things. But you are, the more you can know about how to support the different things that happen, and Doug's going to talk about behaviors and things when he does his autism workshop this afternoon. But really finding out. And the other person or the other people to not overlook are the siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Because siblings in families affected by disability are now known as glass children.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that they're either seen through or they're easily shattered. And that isn't with all families, and it's certainly not an intentional thing. But there is something there in ministry. So at our family retreat, we have buddies for all of the family members. So the adults do a morning Bible study, almost like a vacation Bible school approach. Each child has a buddy, whether they're a sibling, whether they're affected by a disability, or they're not affected by a disability. And some of the people that talk about family retreat is saying that it's like a slice of heaven on earth. Well, why is that? Because we don't know who's disabled and who isn't. Because we all are. So we try to focus on the abilities. What can people do? And I think that's one of the things about this profile, is find out from parents, what is your child good at? What are some things we could do more of? And what kind of dreams do you have for your child spiritually? Because that's where we can pray for you. That's what we want to do, is to really help you to see that you belong here. Yes?
I have two lines for you here. One is this sentence, which I want you to think about in two ways. The concept is offer help when needed. That's the sentence. So all of us that are interested in being nurturers and supportive people, or you wouldn't be here, hear the first two words in that sentence, which are offer help. The important words in that sentence are when needed. Because we want to offer help when it's needed, which allows the person with whatever the difference is to be independent, to shine, to do what they want to do in the setting, just like we would when we are there at church. The other thing is, you're here today, do it tomorrow thing. Point here is the concept of, if you have someone in a church time program or someone in your congregation that appears to be different, but nobody said anything about it to you, like the family hasn't mentioned it ahead of time or whatever, the best way to approach that is with I statements. And so the I statement is, when you can't come out of the church time program or whatever you call Christian ed at your church, is not, holy moly, what's the matter with your kid? All right. Although you might be thinking that. We've all worked with children.
Who invited you? Just kidding.
But the best, a real good way to say it, I statements are almost never offensive. I'm not sure I did everything I could today so that Billy had a good time. Any ideas for me? What parent is going to have an offense to that? But you're still gathering information from that reluctant family that doesn't want to be one more time rejected because of some difference that their child has. So they've decided not to tell the people at this new church. Okay?
I've had moms tell me at family retreat that they don't want to be known as that mom. They don't want to be known as that family. I advocate for my family 24/7 in every other part of my world. I'd like to have a place where I don't have to do that. So the whole idea about families affected by disability, some of the things that you may see is a total shyness, a little bit of a wall there, something glazing in their eyes because, can I trust you? Do you really care about me and my family? We're laughed at, we're ridiculed, we're pushed aside, we are treated so differently in the real world. What's going to make this church different? So they may be wary. You may need to earn trust. They have unique challenges of things that they live with 24/7 that we have no idea if we don't have people. people in our families affected by disability. So if they seem a little like that, that there's good reason for that, and love overcomes everything. So I'm just going to point that out, that, you know, there may be some things that you need to really understand about people and families as they come in. So the next step is step three, is to plan, and it does take a team. So what I would suggest from here today, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, what am I going to do when I go home? Maybe just talk to some other people that might be here with you, or think about who you might invite. Let's get together and have a cup of coffee and talk about, how are we reaching out to families in our community with special needs? How are we reaching the families in our church with special needs? What are we doing? How well are we caring for them? What are some things we need to remove? What are some of the bridges we need to build? What are some of the pathways to help them belong? Starting with those kinds of questions and conversations is the beginning of building a team. A team of people, like at our church, we call ourselves the care team. We care. We really care about this. We want to know who you are and what your needs might be. And we want you to feel safe and you know, part of our family. So it takes a team. Start small. It is not about a program. It's not about labeling something disability ministry. It's about really taking a hard look at who's already there in your church and how well are we serving. How well, or are people in our church affected by disabilities serving with us because they have spiritual gifts, because they have talents, and they're sometimes overlooked. So starting small, just taking a look down here. If you've done here and you've done here, now do here. Who's here? Who's in your church? And then, yeah, start small, people, not programs. And long-term planning just means that young people affected by disabilities grow up and mature. And I would say that the audience that's the most isolated, the most lonely, the most in need of friends are the young adult group, like you saw Ben and Sam this morning. They're most likely to not have anything to really do because they're not in school, and there's just a real need. So there are some great programs, and I'm going to call program. There are some great ministries that are doing things in New England that you might want to check out. One of them is called The King's Table, and they're based in Charlestown, New Hampshire, and they are a Bible study for adults affected by cognitive disabilities. And it's run by volunteers, and so they do a Bible lesson, they do some worship time, they have food together. And sometimes they go into the community together and do things like sing at Christmas time in their community's tree lighting kind of thing. So there are things like that. But that audience, that adult in a family, there's a real big need there. And there's one mom who told me once at retreat, she said, I'd just like my son to have a friend that I don't have to pay. Well, that's because it's caregivers, you know. They have to care. They have to be a friend. So long-term planning just means, you know, walking alongside families for as long as they're in your family. And the decision filter that I put on this slide is, how will this person and this person's family best meet Jesus, grow in grace, and serve with their God-given gifts while fully participating in the body of Christ? So in larger churches, your team might end up looking like this. In smaller churches, your team might end up looking like this. But it really does help to have someone coordinating things. There is need for leadership support. There is need for family support. All of those things are part of a special needs outreach to people in your church. But you don't start with that. You evolve. And in our church, we learn things the hard way. So we make a lot of mistakes. And we back up and say, okay, at least I'm going to say we make mistakes. How would you say?
I'd say it's very messy every Sunday.
So if you think about it, the friends that took their friend through the roof, think about what happened when that roof caved in. And think about how you get a little messy.
We do it very biblically.
But all I'm saying is it does evolve. And sometimes you feel like you're two steps forward, one step back. But it's okay, because the love is what's carrying you, and it's the most important thing. So ministry models, I'm just gonna finish, I think. I think I have just a few more things to say. Different things that churches do depending on who's in their church. Some people offer buddy ministry. Some churches have a sensory space, and again, it's that space that you create that's quieting, not stimulating, but quieting, with the idea that it's not the place to go to stay there,
mm-hmm.
but a place to go for a little break and then come back. Self-contained instruction, and we do have, so why don't you describe some of the different ways we serve families at our church that includes some of these things.
Okay. Well, as we said earlier, we have about 11 families that we work with just about every Sunday. Some of the folks just seamlessly serve that are very visually impaired or that have hearing impairments, and those are easy to program for kind of programmatically. The volunteer that I thank God for every Sunday, because she is legally blind, but she creates and manages the schedule of all the volunteers for every Sunday. And she is masterful at it, and it took it off our plate. But what we do is we serve people in the worship center and outside of the worship center with one-on-one individual buddies. So,
and buddies are not babysitters.
No, they're support people that help the person in the service or in the Christian ed setting gain access to the information that's being presented. It's all about access. It's an app, actually, APP, access, participation, and potential. That's what a buddy is supposed to see in everyone they work with, okay? So Liz buddies a man during the service who has the ability to read at a much younger level than his age, but is often quite verbal during the service and likes to communicate, likes to interact with the pastor. And she helps him stay focused on what's going on by doing some fill-in-the-blanks with him, by helping him just make his comments to her rather than out loud. Although when he does talk out loud, it's pretty routine and welcomed. And our pastor's other line is to people that look panicked by something that happens that's not really expected is, don't worry about this. This is just our living room where we get together on Sunday morning. And that's the concept. It's just our living room where we get together on Sunday morning. And you know, when you never know what's going to happen to your living room when you have people there, right? So, so that's the buddies. I do some one-on-one. The buddies go also to children's programming, and also we have one of our children's programming groups that just has an extra person in there. The children don't need one-on-one, but you can't just get by with one or two people assigned. So that's just additional staffing. And then our self-contained stuff is a young man with autism who can learn and grow and develop, but he needs it presented differently. So tomorrow morning I'll be with him, and we have things ready for him that he enjoys around worship music, ways that he is presented with the gospel visually, and I'm going to talk about some of those strategies in the autism section.
And then I'll talk about respite, and
okay.
Then our church has a Mom's Morning Out program. And it's an evangelical outreach to all churches in our area, not just our own. Although the moms in our church who have special needs kids come. And it's centered around the Bible and about sharing time. And there's food. And sometimes we do a craft. And sometimes we do a lady spa. You know, whatever. But it is a way of respite. So there's that as one idea. But the idea of a couple being able to worship together so they both can go to church is also respite. And then the last one is support groups.
And the respite thing, you can offer a lot of respite outside of church as well if you do it carefully. Just simply taking someone with a disability into the community allows a husband and wife to have a meal together at home. They might not even want to go out. It's just the respite that can happen. And that's really just being a friend.
The other respite that we've done is, you know, very specific. And, you know, we always offer, most churches offer food when something happens, or they offer meals, or they, you know, go in. We have wonderful servants that go in and clean someone's bathroom because it needs to be done, and they don't have the physical ability to do it well anymore. I mean, that's huge respite care and huge ability to do that. We had one of our young men that has a disability that had surgery. People would go in just because he needed to be turned so that mom and dad could sleep all night once a week without getting up every 2 hours to turn him. So that person that was a member of the church would just lay on the couch and get up every 2 hours for that one night so that mom and dad could sleep through the night. So meeting those kinds of needs are often overlooked. We do the things that we're used to and that are routine for us, but think beyond that in the rest of the world.
So I'm kind of flipping on because of the time,
yes.
But I do want to just emphasize that there is a need for training. There's a need for training, training the people that are going to be on your care team, if you want to call it that. There are people that are in your church leadership, and that just means that people know why and what this is about, what you're trying to do, and then training your congregation. And I think that just means that people might need to have disability etiquette kinds of conversations or training specifically with the intention of, we did a training, we've done more than one training in churches just for the greeting team, for the parking lot attendants, and it's really just about how do you meet people and help them to feel welcome. So, you know, there's other disability kinds of awareness activities that you can do also. And through this Start with Hello booklet, you'll find some ideas. There's volunteer training topics and agenda for training on the same website through this Start with Hello booklet. You might want to even consider having a Disability Awareness Sunday. And I went to a church service in Nashua 2 or 3 weeks ago called Grace for All. It was a Lutheran church, but they called it Grace for All, and that was their way of highlighting that God has a plan for every life. All of the scriptures, the sermon, everything was highlighted around respect for life, really. But the fact that they have people affected by disabilities in their families, and just highlighting having people serving, it was really a great idea. And it was a way of bringing awareness to people at their church, for people at their church. Okay, so you might even think about, the reason I brought that up is because Sam spoke at that church that Sunday as well and shared about his story. And so Sam is part of our family retreat family too. So common fears, what if everyone comes and we're overwhelmed? We don't have enough volunteers. Leadership doesn't support our efforts, or no one comes. So I'm just going to, I think, stop here. So let me look and see. The next slide is really about just launching things and getting it started. But I just want to stop here and just, because it's 12:15 and we have 5 minutes, ask if you have any questions. I would really love to talk more with you. My contact information is on the paperwork. Call me, email me. I'm happy to come. Sometimes I just go and we just have a conversation about the church and just kind of facilitating some ideas is helpful. So don't overlook that. And that's something that we could do with you if you wanted some support. And it's not about us doing it, it's us coming alongside you. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about the King's Table. Do you have a point person?
I do.
Person?
I do.
Can I get it?
Yes, I can actually, if you email me, my email is on here, I will be happy to share.
I was on the...
It should be on your handout.
Okay.
I'm happy to share. In fact, I didn't bring any with me today, but I have a list of disability-type ministries that you might want to check out in New England. And there's more than King's Table. There are some other things going on that are really great, too. And of different denominations, not just one. But they're all evangelical, I will say that. Any other questions?
I have a question. So as the ministry is starting and you start seeing these people coming, what would you suggest as far as educating the greater congregation? Because we have found in our church that some of the families who have children with disabilities, they're constantly running interference so that the child doesn't say something inappropriate or ask an inappropriate question, and other people within the church are like, oh, and are almost very judgmental of the parenting, or, and so I know you're gonna have that, but where do you start with almost letting people know that this is going to be happening and we need to offer a measure of grace to people who are coming through our doors?
That's not an unusual question. I think the best answer that I can give you right now on the spot is work with your church leadership. Because if it's embraced that this culture is welcoming and we want to, then having more conversation about that, even, like I said, a Disability Awareness Sunday or doing something about supporting what's happening here and welcoming people of all abilities. It has to come from your leadership, but it also has to come from people like you who want to see more people like them coming to your church. And you have to sometimes do the advocating, which means that you're not...
I'm a big guy on scripts. I work primarily with people with autism, and we use scripts for everything. Mm-hmm. Have a script ready, and that has to be unique to you. I can't tell you what the script is. But have a script ready that says, we really want to put on a new pair of glasses here when we look at a child like so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know, what you saw today was part of his disability. You guys that are interested in seeing this happen in your church need to become the advocate that the moms who say, I don't want to be that parent, so that parent doesn't have to do that, you know. But figure out a nice way to approach that. Most people, when it's explained, aren't going to judge if they know why. Or something like, you know, I really believe this is my life. I really believe knowledge leads to understanding. Let me teach you a little bit about so-and-so's disability.
So there's the question. How do you protect their story without...
Right.
Because I think that's a really difficult line
to
walk.
And they may not have even shared with you, and you might be recognizing something different.
So two things. If you use something like this family ministry profile, you ask permission, or you find ways, you find out what's okay to share. And some of the books, like Barbara J. Newman is a name you need to write down. Barbara J. Newman, who has written several and done great training, is an advocate for giving volunteers a summary of what the family intake piece was, the interview piece.
I'll leave this book here, and you can just take a picture of it. It has a lot of those scripts in it, and this one's specifically designed
helping kids include kids with disabilities.
But guess what? It works just as well with the programs. But, so it's general information about, you know.
Yeah, so it's Barbara Jane Newman. She also wrote Autism in Your Church and Your Church, Autism and Your Church, and Helping Kids, which reminds me that we did a disability awareness lesson for a small group kids. Their parents are in small group on Wednesday night. We did disability awareness activities with all the kids in their kids program so that they all could understand what it might be like to have some kind of a limitation. And we had them paint with their mouth like Johnny does. We had different things like that to help them. And sometimes, I know Barbara recommends this too, is that the parents, you always have to go with what the parents want you to share. And so they write up something about how to introduce my child to other people. How to introduce my child to other people, both in the church and in the child's class.
Get your pastor to preach a sermon on the woman that was going to be stoned, and Jesus put on a new pair of glasses for all the people around her and said about someone who was without sin. So have it come from, from this level, all of us bubbling it up, but also have your leadership sharing. It's okay if these things are different. And then, you know, it'll evolve.
So much more I could say about that.
Now.
Can I just interject one thing? I worked in a place where we supported, I worked in a bank, and we had everybody coming in the first of the month to cash their checks, and most of them are disabled, have something wrong. And I went to a new branch, and I really was horrified at kind of the hatefulness of my staff to towards how those people were. Some of them, you know, would soil themselves, all this, and I had a team meeting, I said to them, we're only one head knock away from that same thing for ourselves. I could slip and fall outside, and that's me tomorrow. So put some perspective back in their hands that we are so lucky to have full range of our body, of our thoughts, of everything. One little thing can change our lives forever, and tomorrow we'll be that person looked at that way. And my staff never once again ever acted that way again to any of those folks. So just a little perspective of a personal situation I went through to give perspective to others.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had challenges in our church with some new people coming in, and how are we going to approach that? And it took two cycles of meetings among the leaders for us to come to grips with the fact that we already had dealt with many difficult people in our church. And a broader idea of what it means to have people in your church that might not be easy.
Yeah.
And then it turns out it's kind of, well, we all have aspects.
So people come to our church know you're in for unexpected behaviors.
Right.
But it does take time. You're right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so pick a date. That just means plan, do something. Start small, go slow, meet one need at a time, because you'll find as you work with each family individually, you'll be able to share more and figure out ways to include them even more. And the blessings we talked about a little bit, but here's Johnny's quote. Ministry is messy. God plops people with disabilities in the midst of a congregation, a hand grenade that blows apart the picture perfectness of the church. But these disenfranchised folks are indispensable parts of the body. But it is like a hand grenade. It truly is. But it's a good one. So here's the Irresistible Church website. There's Start With Hello. The one that I think you might want to think about is Pathways to Belonging, because that's about accommodations and it's about communicating with parents. Okay? So there's different topics there. Please take advantage of them. It is free. You have to register, but it's there. And Johnny and Friends wants to be a support to you as you start. I want to leave you with just the thought that we have an unreached people group, and we have families in our churches who are hurting, and they really desperately want to belong somewhere, and they want their children to have friends. And so if we as the body of Christ are not doing what we can to welcome them, who will? I think about the families affected by autism and that they will never go to another church, and that just hurts me. So I just pray that as you go from here today, think about what you can do, or what are some ways you can start to build those pathways to belonging? What are some things we can do tomorrow, even as we go from here? So can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you, Lord, because you loved us first, and you love us unconditionally, and you see us just the way we are. And Lord, I thank you for each one that's here today at the conference, but even those that are here specifically in this room with me now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill them with your vision, your love for the people that they're going to church with, and Lord, that you will help them to include families affected by disability, individuals, so that they do truly belong, that they're missed when they're not there. And Lord, I pray you would bless them and give them your favor as they move from here to the next thing, to the next step for what you have in mind for their church. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are to us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
I think it was just a moment for a second. That was great.